Well, this Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to do something that we're probably going to do a bunch of this offseason, especially if the lockout continues. Go through and answer some of our viewer and listener questions. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm yours, Paul Francis Sullivan. Look right there. Through my blurry hands, you can tell that you can call me Sully. This show is being dropped on the 8th day of December 2021. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listeners. We're available for free on all your podcast platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Yeah, I'm on all sorts of social media. So Sully Baseball on Twitter is probably the fastest way. If you have a question, a complaint, something you want me to talk about, something you disagree with me about, something you agree with me about, it's probably fastest to send it to me right there at Sully Baseball on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram. I will respond. I sometimes forget I have Instagram. That's Sully Baseball Podcast. I mentioned that. And also on the YouTube page. If you're watching this, I'm on YouTube. Hey, you can put comments on that. You know, I read the comments. I read the good comments. I read the bad comments. And on today's podcast, we are going to be reading some of the responses I've got via Twitter, some of the comments on the YouTube page. And I'm going to address something with a fan that I had a little bit of a back and forth with. Could be considered contentious, but I like to think of it as a learning tool, because there's a way to find a middle ground that, at least for me, makes baseball the most enjoyable sport of them all. I think I've shown my cards a little bit that baseball is my favorite sport. I don't know, doing a podcast in the middle of December during a lockout. I don't know. If I'm going to try to bluff, I said, no, I don't know. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's hockey. No. No. You know, it's funny. I'm not a football fan. I don't dislike football. I just don't have the bandwidth to follow it. I have a job. I have other things going on in my life. I have this podcast. I have other creative things that I'm doing. I don't have the bandwidth to follow more than one sport closely. And I don't see the point of being just, you know, claiming I'm a fan of a team or that, if I'm not really following the team, if I don't really know the players, you know. But I always tend to get at least nominally interested in football when the playoffs show up. And it's for right now, we're approaching mid-December. I have no idea who's good in football. And that tends to be one of the things that happens around Christmas time, when time is off of Christmas, when there are some big games going on. Like, hey, oh, this team's good this year? Oh, that's interesting. And I wonder how many people watch baseball like that, like towards the end of the summer when the playoffs show up, and like, really? They're good? Well, maybe I'll watch the playoffs. I don't know. It just, to me, it's such a commitment to follow baseball that at least how I like to follow sports, it requires a certain amount of commitment, and I just don't have that bandwidth. But I will watch a football game. They have the bowl games on during Christmas time. And I've said this before, I've said it again, the idea that people would push for the abolishing of the bowls to have some sort of a playoff system misses the point of those bowls. Those bowls' main job is between Christmas and New Year's to have something on TV, some sporting event on TV that can be on there in the background while you are in that post-Christmas, pre-New Year's haze. You're like, oh, geez, what are we going to talk about? Oh, is there a football game on? Turn it on. Who's playing? It's Kansas State versus Oklahoma. Oh, okay. We'll watch that for a little bit. That's how I am as a football fan. But obviously, I'm a much bigger baseball fan. And let's take a look what some people wrote to me, either on YouTube or on Twitter. Oh, this came from when I was talking about the effects of a pending lockout. This is from my podcast on the 30th day of November. Sam McBride writes, shortening the season would be fine with me. I'd like to see the teams have more days off to keep the players fresher, healthier, and less prone to slumps because of fatigue. In that particular episode, I advocated for several things, including shortening the season. And I actually think this is a smart idea. And there may be ways to make this work financially. 162 games, I like 162 game schedule. I know for a lot of people it's a lot. If they're going to expand the playoffs, which I'm not sure if they will or not, but if they're going to expand the playoffs, you then have to shorten the regular season for a couple of reasons. The first reason is, and you know, I mentioned this, that we can't have baseball going on up until now. You know, if you're going to expand to an entire different round, some sort of round robin thing, this person gets a bye, these teams play two game playoffs, whatever the hell it is, baseball's already going into November. And people are checking out of baseball at the end of the summertime because it's a summertime sport. It's not a November sport. And so, I mean, this is coming from as rabid a baseball fan as you're ever going to meet in your life. I am all for shortening the regular season. I've been advocating for literally years, almost no more than a decade. And I'm thinking about it. I made a video about it back in 2011. It's now 2021. Oh my God, it's almost 2022. And the thing that I advocated for, and I said in this video, I'm saying it again, to end the season at Labor Day. That's when most people check out. It's kind of like the opposite of me with football. I don't follow football until the final few weeks, or the final week, really. And for most people, they're thinking about football at the beginning of the school year, so the end of summertime. Baseball is done for so many people around Labor Day. Why fight it? And guess what? If you chop a month off, all right, are you going to lose revenue? Maybe. But as I pointed out, it's not as many people are interested in it, and you're going to see a lot of empty stadiums in the non-contenders, then are you really losing that much? And if you're going to expand the playoffs, then, you know, you want to start in September. But the other thing is we are seeing so many injuries, a lot of it to pitchers. Now, Stacey Gottsoulias of Locked On Yankees, listen to our show, it's a fantastic show, has made the point that a lot of the handling of the pitchers and the pitch counts and, you know, four innings being a quality start may be part of the continuing residue of the stop and start season that we had in 2020, which turned out to be 60 games with two spring trainings and all sorts of crazy COVID restrictions and everything like that, that for a lot of pitchers, they probably had to build up to their arm strength, and that this year may be an aberration, but it may not be, because you also have owners, remember, who don't want to be paying top dollars for pitchers, and so they're going to design pitching staffs. Well, you know, they only go 4 or 5 innings, so why do we want to pay them like Max Scherzer, who pitches like an ace and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Economics always sneaks into it. But with so many injuries, and you get to the end of the year, and sometimes the pitching staffs bear only a passing resemblance to the team that pitched the majority of the year. Everyone's worn out. And do you know what? Part of that also has to do with the fact that pitchers are throwing harder. And there's more stress being put on their bodies. Throwing 100 miles an hour used to be an aberration. Used to be something that only the freaks did. Now you're not going to get drafted unless you hit triple digits. And you have people putting strain on their arm all year long, all since they were teenagers, because you don't have the whole, hey, I play baseball in the spring and basketball in the winter and football in the fall. No, it's I'm in this travel league, I'm in this league and that league. And eventually everyone's getting Tommy John. And so maybe reducing the number of games they're playing may reduce some of the injuries. Here's what I want. Look at the Braves winning the World Series is a great story, but there were so many people not on the roster at the end because of their injuries. Soraka wasn't on it. Acuña Jr. wasn't on it. I want anything I can to keep the players as healthy as humanly possible. And I want there to be as much interest in the game as humanly possible. If you're going to expand the playoffs, then you need to shorten the season. As I mentioned in another episode, the 162 game gauntlet made sense when only a small group of teams made the playoffs, because there is a randomness, there's a coin flip quality to the baseball playoffs that only seems just if the players who are flipping the damn coin are ones that made it through the gauntlet. And if you're making it so that more than half the teams get in, there will be a sub 500 team that wins the World Series. That's going to happen if you open it up that much. And the only way that's going to feel just at all, and the way that the expanded playoffs felt like it was at least not egregious when they did in the truncated season, was that the season was so short. So if you're going to do something like that, you have to shorten the season. And I agree with you, Sam McBride, that the end result of that would be players who are fresher, players that are healthier, and that the teams that are in the postseason will resemble the teams that played during the regular season. I don't want to have a postseason where Clayton Kershaw is on the outside looking in. That you look around and like so many stars were not available to play because they're all banged up. Look at, if I had my druthers, they'd continue to do the 162 game season and to have four playoff teams from each league. That's what, if that would be my goal. But I understand having the five and doing the wild card play-in game. Okay, cool. I've grown to like the wild card play-in game. If we're going to expand it more, think about the strain that it's going to put on the players during the gauntlet of October. Come on. I want what will make the players healthy and the teams resembling the teams that we rooted for getting to the postseason. To me, that's what they need. And do you know what? Maybe they do need a boost along the way. Maybe they need something to give them a little bump. Maybe they need a Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar ever. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's even better than a candy bar. Built Bar is filled with so much goodness, rich and decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat. High in protein, you get the best of both worlds. It's delicious and it's healthy. You got so many flavors. You got a hard time choosing. Mint brownie, cherry, cookies and cream, double chocolate, peanut butter brownie. My personal favorite is raspberry. We'll give you that extra fuel as you're trying to get through that full 162, 144 game schedule, whatever it is, turn to the Built Bars, okay? And there's so many great ways you can have it. You can dip it in your cocoa. You're going to break it apart. You can share it with your friends. You got the marshmallow treats right around the holidays. You need to get your hand on Built Bar Puffs. They're light. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy through and through. Different flavors, all covered in chocolate. They taste so good, you won't believe that they're filled with protein. What you got to do is go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15. You get 15% off your order. That's 15% off at Built.com for those Built Bars. Okay, we are here and we are still talking about the different requests that I'm getting from my fans. Okay, where the heck did that one go? Excuse me, is I sniffle? Oh, here it is. I talked with, on the podcast on November 12th, 2021, I was in favor of abolishing the draft and was thinking that may be a way to help curb tanking, that there has to be some other form other than, you're the worst team, you get the best pick. Well, then you got the best pick, but you're not going to pick the best player. Kind of throws away the concept of the draft. Parker Adelson said, don't get rid of the draft. Instead, base it off the payroll of each team's roster after the regular season. Most of the time, the bottom dwellers would be the top choices, but teams that have been ravaged by injuries would get some help as well. I like the fact that we are looking at the draft as not necessarily just the knee-jerk, you're the worst team, you get the best pick. The lottery system in baseball would be interesting, but you still would have that situation where you may not be picking the best player. There was something that was said in the Rich Eisen show that said the team that misses the playoffs and is closest to the playoffs gets the first pick, because you want to see good, you know, teams that are on the cusp be able to get that player to help them better. But yeah, it's not like football. It's not like the NBA. That player you draft isn't going to affect your team right away, which is one of the reasons why the MLB draft is so maddening, that you could draft a fantastic player and not see him in a major league uniform for 2 or 3, maybe 4 years. And they may still turn out to be a fine player, sometimes a star, sometimes just a good, solid player, but it's not going to immediately affect the team. You know, maybe there's a, you know, there's ways you could possibly look at it. I mean, like one, I heard one person suggesting that maybe it's like a range, like the worst team over a 3 or 4 year period. But the problem, I'm wary of automatically giving it to the team that has the, you know, that has the worst record, because that will mean we're going to continue seeing teams not trying. And also, if you see a chance that if it's the team with the that just misses the postseason, then, you know, you may find yourself, well, are we better off not making the postseason at all? And maybe them not giving their all. It's the reason why I'm saying, why don't we just get rid of the draft? You know, it had, like so many things, it had a noble beginning, that it was, how do we have it be that the big market teams don't just gobble up all the best amateur players, but they're kind of doing that anyway. The draft is kind of a placebo. It's kind of an illusion. And so, and we still have the whole, excuse my sniffling, oh my goodness, the whole, you know, just highest bidder when it comes to players who are posting from Japan, international markets, everything like that. It's a bit of a farce that way. So why not have it be that teams make their pitch to the players? Hey, what team do you want to play for? You know, if you're looking at a team, like say, oh, well, like the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Cubs will just always sign the best players. Well, yeah, but eventually they won't have room for all of them. And maybe they have to trade some of them away. And maybe that's how teams could build up their, build up their farm systems. Or you could say the Pirates could loop some and say, hey, look, I know you'd rather play for the Yankees, but with us, you have a surefire, completely clear lane to the major leagues. It's like recruiting players in college. You know, you're going to have some players who are going to say, hey, look, I may want to play for this team, but they already have someone at that position, and I'll be able to get more playing time there. You may be able to recruit saying, hey, do you know what? Maybe certain organizations have a better track record with a certain player, or saying, you know what? We have these instructors. You make the pitch to them instead of assigning them. I wonder how many players were drafted by the wrong team. How many players are drafted by an organization and they've tinkered with their swing or tinkered with their arm motion till eventually they were no longer effective? Or how many teams just drafted the best available player, but they didn't have room for them, or they didn't have the right players for them, or they didn't have the right coaching staff for them? Or how many times a player could have been in the right situation if it wasn't for the order of the draft? So look at, I'm all for different thinking on the points of the draft. I don't think the version that we have works, but Parker Adelson, I do like how you're thinking. Let's go see. A Rushmore list on Twitter said, I think we can all agree that the voters of the Baseball Hall of Fame don't always get it right. That's true. Who's on the Mount Rushmore of eligible people who are not in but should be? Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Fred McGriff, Buck O'Neill. Who do you think? Now, he wrote this on a couple weeks ago. So Buck O'Neill is now in. And Rushmore list has Bonds and Clemens still on that. McGriff is interesting. I think McGriff has an interesting case. I think others have better cases. I think Sammy Sosa has a good case. I know he did steroids and everything, but you know, if we're going to say Bonds and Clemens, I'm going to sniff one more time. There you go. Bad for podcasting, but honest right now. Why not Sosa? I mean, let's not forget what Sosa McGuire did. They did steroids. They cheated. They kind of saved the game for a little bit. You know, it was just 3 years removed from the end of the strike of the lockout of 94 and 95. And then people were really interested in baseball. Was it fake? Yeah. So was the movie Titanic. A lot of people went to see that. A lot of people went to see the Avengers. That was fake. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a fraudulent way of doing it, but they still did it. It was still exciting. That wasn't fraudulent. So if we're going to open it up to Bonds and Clemens, which we should, I don't know why we automatically say no to McGuire and Sosa. I think Dick Allen should be in. I think it's criminal that he's not in. And it's aggravating he didn't get in during his lifetime. And it's aggravating he missed by a single vote twice. There's some other interesting candidates, though. I think Dave Steeb deserves a good long look. I think Darrell Evans deserves a good long look. And, I'll say it. I'm not a fan of his politics. In fact, I've argued with him on Twitter. And he's said and done some things off the field that I find absolutely deplorable. Curt Schilling's a Hall of Famer. He is. He just is. I don't want to spend an afternoon with the man. But what he did on the field, especially during the steroid era, merits enshrinement at the Hall of Fame. Just, you know, cut his mic off when he gives a speech. So I'd say Bonds, Clemens, Dick Allen. I'll say Schilling. And again, trust me, when it comes down to politics and beliefs and everything, you can't get more of the opposite of Curt Schilling than me. But what he did on the field, and what he did on the field does not include things like gambling or any other thing that would require a suspension. You know, Pete Rose obviously had a career that is worthy of the Hall of Fame, but he's not in, and that's on Pete. That's Pete's fault. And as I've said over and over again, I'm sure Pete would like to be in, but the nanosecond he's in, he's no longer relevant. So he could have been in the Hall of Fame if he wanted to be. He doesn't want to be. He'd rather cash in. So I would say Clemens, Bonds, I'm going to say Dick Allen, and I'm going to say Schilling. And if anyone has issues with that, I totally understand. I also want to just say one more. There's another one I'm going to point out once we get back from the break. But I also wanted to say to Michael Hughes, who had a handle that had his name and a bunch of numbers, and I wondered if he was a Russian bot at one point. Well, he's changed his name. He's now MH Reds Bengals. So it's Michael Hughes, Reds Bengals. He said, still listening to every show. I said, thanks, Michael. And I'm going to say so. I looked at Michael's page. I have a feeling that Michael and I probably would not agree on some things politically or things like that. I'm not calling him a Curt Schilling, but we probably would have some differences. But do you know what? This is a safe place. This is a place for everybody, okay? My personal thoughts and political thoughts and social thoughts will probably seep out because baseball is not completely shielded from politics of the world. It isn't. Baseball reflects the world, and sometimes that comes out. Sometimes it's a respite, but sometimes it's a reflection. And my own, you know, my job here, I get paid, I shell some built bars. You know, my job is to give my thoughts and opinions, and my thoughts and opinions are not always going to be apolitical. But they try not to be about endorsing candidates or anything. It's going to be about what how I believe and how I see the world. And I hope everybody who listens to this show can feel safe being here. And quite frankly, whether you're conservative or liberal or whether you're a devout religious or you're a staunch atheist or whatever it is you are, okay, as long as we have this baseline, we're going to be all good. Do we want people to have a sense of equity and justice? Do we want our country to be safe and prosperous? And do we want to leave the world better than we found it? If we could all agree on those three things, then we're all good. There may be quibbles over details, but those are the three things. And if we could all agree on that, it is a surefire bet that we are all going to get along. You, me, Michael Hughes, and everyone else. In fact, if you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online. It remains the number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated website and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. Easy for you to say. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. All right, we're back. I had to blow my nose. Last part of this podcast, I'm going to bring something up with someone who I got into a little bit of a back and forth with. And it's always dangerous to a degree when you bring someone into the podcast who you had a disagreement with, but there's a point I'm going to try to make. Two Pilgrims is the Twitter handle, at @TWO_Pilgrims. Responded from the announcement of the veterans committees, Hodges and Buck O'Neill and Jim Cott and Minnie Minos, all of them, Tony Oliva, all of them who got elected to the Hall of Fame through the Golden Era ballots and to the through the Veterans Committee ballots, wrote, would help the sport if people who are current fans have actually heard of who got in. And he said, these are all effing nobodies. No wonder this sport is dying. And I got into a little bit of a back and forth with him about it. You know, because I think, you know, claiming that these are nobodies, you know, claiming that Bud Fowler and Buck O'Neill and Gil Hodges and Minnie Minosa and Tony Oliva and Jim Cott are nobodies, shows, you know, a lack of respect for the past. But I don't want to be old man Sully here barking on the front porch, because there are two different ends of this bookend that I think that neither side is a positive way to look at the game. You can't be too much in one way. You can't be too much of things were better in my day, because in my day stuff can drive me crazy. Just claiming that everything old was good, everything new stinks. Saying my day players were great, today they're a bunch of weasels. Because let me tell you something, whatever your day is, the previous generation thought your day stunk. Whatever you thought was old school and the way it should be played, the previous people shake their head at it and go, that's a bunch of garbage. Ring Lardner Sr. very famously wrote how he lost interest in baseball because Babe Ruth left pitching for hitting and looked up and realized the game is slipping away. Babe Ruth. I talked about the interview that Lou Gehrig gave towards the end of his life, where he did not want to talk about his disease. He wanted to talk about baseball circa 1939. And he talked about how the players today were pampered, that they didn't have to work for it as hard as he did. He's talking about the era of Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Bob Feller, Hank Greenberg, that they were pampered. Reading about the 1972 playoffs for the book that I'm writing, I'm reading all sorts of stuff about how people are looking at this era of stars and the watered down playoffs, and baseball just isn't the same with players like Reggie Jackson and Pete Rose and Johnny Bench and Joe Morgan. It's just not the same. It used to be so much better. And when it becomes part of your day, you can rewrite that sort of stuff so fast. As I said, I saw something that a player whose name I won't mention was talking about how players today don't respect the game like from his era, that Reggie Jackson and Ricky Henderson played the game right and weren't disrespectful. Well, if you read what was written at that time, Reggie and Ricky represented everything wrong with the game. So you can't live in, in my day, things were better. Conversely, like two pilgrims, it's not healthy to say anything that happened before is dismissed. You know, to say Minnie Minosa is a nobody, to say Buck O'Neill's a nobody, Tony Oliva's a nobody, Gil Hodges is a nobody, you don't understand the fact that the players today are standing on their shoulders. You don't understand their impact. Now, you may not know who they are, but just because you don't know who they are doesn't mean they were nobodies. Now, I wrote back to him in one of our back and forth. I said, as a kid, I found it fun to learn about baseball and see whose shoulders the current players are standing on. Give it a shot. Tony Oliva, Jim Cott, Gil Hodges, Minnie Minosa, Bud Fowler, the great Buck O'Neill all left their thumbprints on the game. And I'm not doing this to antagonize two pilgrims. I'm doing this to not curse the darkness, but to light a candle, to quote Raising Arizona. There is a timelessness that is an illusion, but it's one of the things that makes baseball fandom, to me, special. Those ghosts don't leave. The ghosts of the past remain. You can't talk about the Yankees without bringing up Babe Ruth. You can't talk about the Red Sox without Ted Williams. You can't talk about the Dodgers without Jackie Robinson or Sandy Koufax, or even Fernando Valenzuela. Some of the ghosts are not dead. Sandy Koufax isn't dead either. The presence of Willie Mays hovers over the stadium in San Francisco and will remain even after he's gone. However, there creates a connection. Hank Aaron's death this year had a connection with the current Braves team, and the current Braves team with the Freddie Freemans and everyone on the squad raise the stature of the Braves franchise. There is a connection that when the Giants won those World Series, or when the Red Sox defeated those demons of all those years, or when the Yankees win a World Series and the current crop joins all the great champs of the past, there is a sense of the past, present, and future all happening simultaneously in baseball. Give it a shot. Give it a shot that you see that the old days were great and the current days are great. That back in my day, it was pretty good. And you know what? It's pretty dang good, too, right now. I don't feel ripped off that I didn't see Willie Mays, because I saw in my day Ken Griffey Jr. And I see Mike Trout now. I never thought I would see a player be an all-star caliber pitcher and hitter. But now, in my day, I'm seeing Shohei Ohtani. I don't feel ripped off that I didn't see the Big Red Machine in their prime, because I've seen so many great teams and so many great players that are currently playing. They're currently on the squad. They're not nobody's currently playing. They weren't nobody's before, and they are all clashing at once. Did you understand the magnitude of a championship, of a record being broken, of someone being named alongside another great player, another great all-time player, if you earn an appreciation for what they did in the past? I read so much baseball history. I love you. Just, I'm the easiest person in the world to buy Christmas presents for. Just give me another baseball biography or baseball book to read. I'll consume it. I'll shove it in my brain. But then I'll turn around and watch the game now. The two ends of the spectrum. The past is are a bunch of nobodies. The present are a bunch of nobodies. I feel like you're missing out on what is a glorious way to follow this game. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, two pilgrims. I just started this whole podcast saying, I don't know anybody playing football. In fact, there's only one college football player that I even can remotely name, and it's my cousin's son plays for the University of Virginia. All right? Other than my cousin's son, Brendan, I don't know any other college football player, and I don't know who's good in the NFL. But I wouldn't call them nobodies. Just because I don't know who they are doesn't mean they're a nobody. That'd be what I would urge anyone who thinks baseball stinks now. Back in my day, it was better. And anyone who says, well, they're a bunch of nobodies, this is why the sport's dying, make it live. Bring those together. Past, present, and future all exist simultaneously in baseball. And it's a wonderful way to follow the sport. Give it a shot. Learn about the past if you're saying, who are these guys? And if you say, oh, back in my day it was better, follow this game today with the open eyes and heart of someone who's falling in love with the game. Okay? It was good then. It was good now. And it's going to be even better. Just like this podcast. So go to Twitter. Go to, we're at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter. Same handle for Instagram. And hey, thanks so much for making us your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting platforms. Your second listen should be Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, and with expert analysis from Lee Sterling for all your gambling needs. Talking about how to love the game, who should be enshrined, should we shorten the season, and saying, hey, keep listening to the show, because we're for everybody. This is Locked On MLB for the 8th day of December, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.